Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of March 3rd, 2024. It's entitled, Our Great God is Gracious. One of the texts we'll be looking at is Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. The call to worship is from Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9 and 21. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen. If you have ever spent time around children, one phrase that you will eventually hear them say is, "That's not fair." That's not fair. They may be referring to how a game is being played or how snacks are being divided up. As adults, we continue to do this. We may compare our struggles to the apparent ease of others and feel, that's not fair. Now, wouldn't this world be a better place if everything were fair? It may surprise you to know that the Bible shows that God is not fair. What? Is that true? Well, if God were fair regarding how he judges our sin, none of us would last a moment. We are all guilty of sin and would be judged and gone. However, the wonderful truth is that God is not fair. Rather, he is more than fair with us. In other words, he is gracious towards us. It is not surprising, then, that the most popular Christian hymn is Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Yet it is vital that we understand that grace is not just a characteristic which we attribute to God. Graciousness is one of the words that God chose to use to describe himself. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, we see this. As we've already looked at, we've seen in previous messages, it was in response to Moses' request to see the Lord's glory. The Lord passes by Moses and describes his character in this way. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to a thousand generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 from the Christian Standard Bible. The hymn Amazing Grace was written by clergyman John Newton and was based on his conversion from being a slave trader. For us to even begin to appreciate God's description of himself in Exodus chapter 34 as being a compassionate and gracious God, we need to appreciate the setting within Exodus in which these words are being spoken. Exodus chapters 1 to 18 describe God's work to free the descendants of Israel, that is the descendants of Jacob, from 430 years of slavery to the Egyptians. 430 years of slavery. Chapters 19 to 31 tell of their arrival at Mount Sinai 3 months later, and the covenant God makes with Moses and the leaders of Israel. God speaks the Ten Commandments to the people, then calls Moses and the other leaders up the mountain. Moses returns up the mountain to receive instructions on the tabernacle and the sacrifices, as well as a copy of the Ten Commandments written on two stone tablets. Then we come to chapters 32 and 33. These chapters describe what the Israelites did during the 40 days that Moses was up on Mount Sinai, receiving instructions on the tabernacle and the sacrifices, and receiving this copy of the Ten Commandments written in stone. What were the Israelites doing during the 40 days that Moses was up on Mount Sinai? They convinced Aaron to make an idol of gold, and they worshiped it, this golden calf, proclaiming that it represented the gods that had freed them from Egypt. When God told Moses what the people were doing, Moses returned, and the people faced the consequences of their sin, and Moses pleaded to God on their behalf. Perhaps you can recall a time when your trust was betrayed by someone close to you. How easy was it for you to respond with compassion and grace? In the context of freeing them from slavery and then experiencing their rejection, God's statements describing his compassion and grace are even more astounding. In chapter 34, God invites Moses to return to Mount Sinai on behalf of the rebellious Israelites, to tell them about his character, to remind them that sin has consequences, and to reaffirm his commitment to be their God. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. God, from the beginning of creation, had a plan to deal with sin. The blood of the Lamb of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, say this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." The Apostle Paul also marveled at God's grace towards us sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amazing grace. Grace is a gift granted us, and we should never take it lightly. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 reminds us that sin has consequences. Like throwing a rock into a pond, sin creates ripples that continue beyond ourselves. An alcoholic can be forgiven and freed from their addiction, but research shows the next generation will have been deeply affected and likely struggle with addiction themselves. A parent who abuses their children produces another generation of abusers. Sin is not without consequences. Now, God in his grace limits the cause and effect of those actions to three or four generations. Yet, notice this too in the text, the consequences of a godly, selfless act of a parent or a grandparent continues on and on. It says to 1,000 generations. This means we must take a good, hard look at the consequences of our choices, not only on your character, but on those who will follow you, especially when you are being tempted to sin. It's not just about you. It's not, well, no one else will know. It's impacting your character, and this impacts your influence on those around you. Now, we can learn more about the grace of God in the parables of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, Jesus tells a parable of the workers in the vineyard. And he tells this parable after affirming to his disciples that they will be awarded in eternity for their faithfulness to him. But he also adds that the first will be last, and the last will be first. In the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the landowner, who really seems to represent God here, goes to the marketplace and hires day laborers, agreeing to pay them a fair wage for a day's work. That would be a denarius. As the day passes, the landowner returns multiple times to the marketplace and continues to hire any laborers he finds waiting there to work in his vineyard, including those he finds with only an hour of work left in the day. Now, as the workers are being paid, beginning with those hired last through to those hired first in the morning, each one comes away beaming. They've received a denarius, a fair day's wage. But each one receives that. A denarius is what each worker would need to be able then to go to the market and to return home with food for their family for that evening. Now, unsurprisingly, those who spent the most hours in the field grumble that the landowner was unfair. However, the landowner reminds them that they had agreed to work for one denarius that morning. And they were grumbling because the landowner was not unfair. They were grumbling because the landowner was more than fair. Each worker received what they needed to provide for their families, rather than just receive an hourly rate. God does not give us what we deserve, but according to what we need. And what about our grumbling over not being as gifted as someone else? It's not fair. I'd like to be able to do that too. Grace is not earned. God is free to choose to dispense his grace however he pleases. Who are we to question him? God's grace and forgiveness are gifts offered to us. Remember this as you choose to accept them, as you choose to accept God's grace and forgiveness. Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, Matthew 18, 21 to 35, reminds us of the impact receiving God's grace is to have on us. The impact God's grace is to have on us. We are not lucky to be forgiven. We are blessed that God in his grace has forgiven us. In this parable, the unmerciful servant was forgiven a debt he could not repay in multiple lifetimes. It was an astounding amount. Yet when a fellow servant owed him far, far less, he showed no humility or mercy. And this, in the end, resulted in his debt being fully restored. If you choose to admit you are a sinner, in desperate need of God's forgiveness, and accept Jesus' payment for your sin through his death on the cross in your place, you are completely forgiven. This is amazing grace being extended to you. And you are not lucky. You have been blessed by God. You have been blessed in order to be a blessing to others. So when they come to you and they ask, how can you do this? How can you forgive me after what I did to you? Your answer will be, because God forgave me of so much more. How can I not be gracious to you? Our great God is a gracious God. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. How can we not also be gracious and forgiving because of what we have experienced? That is what God asks of us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Let me close now with the benediction from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is from the Good News Bible. Be alert. Be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be firm in your faith and resist him, because you know that your fellow believers in all the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. But after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself perfect you and give you firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Walk in his strength. Walk in his grace. Be gracious people yourselves. Goodbye.